Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Dead bones live. If I can draw your attention to verse 20 of Romans chapter 4, where Paul said, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Anybody fully persuaded? Anybody fully persuaded that God has power to do what he has promised? When we were younger, we used to sing a song that says, I am persuaded, Lord, to love you. I have been changed to bless your name. I have been, by this great gospel. Anyway, I am persuaded, anybody fully persuaded that God has power to do what he has promised. That word persuaded, I love the word persuaded, although there are times when that word in the New Testament is often translated convinced, that I am persuaded that neither death nor life. Romans 8, this is Romans 4. Romans 8, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities. That same word is often translated convinced. I am convinced that neither death nor life. Sometimes the word persuaded translated in English as convinced. I like the word convinced because it takes conviction to believe God for your promise. Thing about conviction and being convinced is that you can be convinced all by yourself. You can be convinced of something and you're alone, whereas persuaded implies that there is another person involved in your persuasion. Persuaded implies the input of another person. Persuaded implies that I have heard someone and I have been talked into believing something that I didn't believe before I heard it. That as a result of my connection and my relationship to someone, that I have been persuaded, that I have heard a word, and as a result of that word, I have been talked into this thing. I might let it go, but I've been persuaded. I might have given up, but I've been persuaded. I come to worship the Lord to hear him so that I can be persuaded. I come to bless his name so that I can keep hearing the promise, so I can stay persuaded that I am persuaded that there is a persuasion to this thing, that I am fully persuaded. It's like I was talking to my wife the other day. Y'all know it's football season. And I was talking, my wife and I were watching, she doesn't watch games with me a lot, but we were watching a football game just the other day, and somebody fumbled. And I stopped it and I backed it back up. And I showed my wife that sometimes guys, when running with the football, sometimes they fumble because they're just careless with it. Some guys are holding the ball out loose. But then there are times, a lot of times, when someone fumbles the ball because there is a struggle for the ball itself. Defenders are punching on the ball. Sometimes you'll see, you'll watch, a guy will be running back or a wide receiver, he'll be running, he'll be leaning, and he's trying to gain ground, and there are some folk that are trying to tackle him. Some folk are trying to push him back. Some folk are behind him trying to push him forward, people on his team. And then I backed it up and showed my wife that the reason why the guy fumbled is because there's literally people pulling on his arm, literally pulling on the ball, punching the ball, trying to get him to fumble the ball. And I said to my wife, babe, sometimes I feel like that's how I am about my faith. Sometimes I feel like the battle is about my faith. I feel like I am holding faith like a football. I'm leaning forward. I'm trying to make progress. I'm trying to get there before I go down. There are folk behind me pushing me forward. There are forces against me trying to keep me from making progress. There's forces that are trying to tackle me. And then there's a demonic presence that's trying to rip my faith out of my arms. And I come to worship to be fully persuaded. I come to bless God to say, you will not take my faith from me. Get off my faith. I'm actually fighting not just for progress, but for my ability to even believe. I wish I had a witness in the building. That my faith is under attack. Anybody? My faith is under attack. Sometimes they can be so busy going after the ball that they don't tackle the guy. Because sometimes when the enemy is behind, instead of just trying to stop you, they're just trying to rip your faith out. And it's a battle for faith that I realize that a part of my job is to be fully persuaded. Persuaded is a great word to use for Abraham, because Abraham had a relationship with God. He had a relationship with God. So since persuaded implies the input of another person or another being, that Abraham is strengthened in his faith by a promise that God made him, because he has a relationship with God. I've said this before. I'm saying it again. It bears repeating. That when I look at the Word of God, I see two types of people who have an interaction with God. Two types of God in their life people. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. Two types of God in their life people. I'll throw it on the screens if you're taking notes. Two types of God in their life people. First type, when you look at the Bible, first type of God in their life people is people who had an encounter with God and got something. People who had an encounter with God and got something. We see that a lot in the New Testament, particularly when Jesus is walking around. We see folk who came, had an encounter with God, and got something as a result of it. Blind Bartimaeus had an encounter with Jesus, got his sight. Woman with the issue of blood had an encounter with Jesus, got her healing. The 5,000 had an encounter with Jesus and got fed miraculously. Jairus had an encounter with Jesus and his daughter got raised from the dead. The leper had an encounter with Jesus and walked away healed. The paralytic was at the pool. He had an encounter with Jesus, and after that encounter, how he was before was different afterwards. He was different after the encounter. And I recognize and know that almost all of us in this room, thank you so much for being here with us, and everyone that's watching live stream, you're like me. We're here to have an encounter with God. We're here to say, Lord, let me touch you. See if you're real. Lord, touch me. Lord, have your way in my life. Lord, I need to be in this service. I need to sense the presence of God. I've got something that only God can do for me, and I'm looking to have an encounter with God and for my situation to be different after my encounter with him than it was before. Hello. That's why I'm here. I'm not just going to church just out of form or fashion or tradition. I'm going to church because I believe that just a moment with God is enough to change my situation around. It's why you've spent most of this service worshiping God. As well as we communicate, as well as I communicate, as well as Pastor L or my wife or Pastor Manny or Brian or any of the communicators, as well as we communicate, we dedicate more of this service to you worshiping God. Talk to me. More to this service to you praising God, to you closing your eyes, to you raising your hands. We'll tell you, raise your hands. We'll tell everybody be quiet. Sometimes as well as Stacy sings, sometimes she's like, okay, we're going to shut up. She's going to point the mic at you as well as Josh and all the background. When they sing, I don't know if you ever hear it, when they stop singing and we sing, he's singing. When they're singing, it's all these harmonies. And then when they shut up and they make us sing, you get to hear who around you can sing and who needs to be. Every now and then you'll be like, you need to be up there. And every now and then you'll be like, you need to be down here next to me. As well as they can sing, why do they stop them from singing and try to get you to sing? Why? Because they're not up here trying to perform and entertain you. They are trying to lead you to have an encounter with God. Talk to me. They're trying to get you to raise your hand because they know that if you ever break through yourself and get out of yourself and out of your flesh and out of your distractions and out of all the stuff that bothered you on your way in here, if you ever press through and have an encounter with God, you'll keep wanting it. You'll get up tomorrow and put something on and go, and try to have an encounter with God. And Tuesday, have an encounter with God. You want to live in his presence because having an encounter with God is all that you need sometimes. Praise God for the word, and I'm sharing a word with you. But we commune together, we sang together, because sometimes there's just something about being in the presence of God and being around the people of God that's enough. Sometimes there's a fix in the presence. And so there are people who had an encounter with God and got something. And our prayer is that you will get something out of coming and being here with us, and that you got something out of being in his presence, because that's one type of person and has an interaction with God. Two types of in their life people, God in their life people, two kinds of people. The second type of person is people who had a relationship with God and got somewhere. People who had an encounter with God and got something. I think a lot of times we like to look at the people that had an encounter with God and got something. Whereas really, the Bible is full of people who had a relationship with God. And in that relationship, the stuff didn't matter as much as the journey mattered. The fact that the Lord was taking them from here to there mattered more than the stuff. The children of Israel got into trouble because they got to fussing about the stuff in the wilderness, not realizing that it ain't about the stuff as long as you have a relationship with somebody that's taking you from Egypt into Canaan, my God. That as a result of the relationship, you can actually be all right if everything isn't exactly amazing. If you have a relationship, if everything's not perfect, things may not be perfect, but if you know where you're going, if you know that you're on your way somewhere, if you know that you are holding to his hand and you're saying, God, lead me and I'll follow. You are my shepherd. The Lord isn't just going to give you something. He's going to get you somewhere. Can I get a witness in the second service? Anybody realize the Lord's trying to take me somewhere? The Lord's trying to take me somewhere. Sometimes when the Lord takes me by the hand to take me somewhere, he doesn't always lead me in places I want to go. Ezekiel says, well, see, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, and he took me by the hand. Now, I know the minute we start talking about the Lord taking us somewhere, we want the Lord to take us to pastures green, and we want the Lord to take us to mountain experiences, and we want the Lord to take us to great places, and we want the Lord to take us to places of blessing. But I wonder if I have anybody in the room with me who the Lord will take you by your hand and lead you into a valley of dry bones. Lead you to a place that's hard. Lead you to a place that's tough. Can I get a lead you? And you're saying, Lord, I've been following you. Lord, I'm doing what you tell me to do. Why is it that you've led me into a place where it looks like everything is dead? That your relationship with God is fickle if he can't lead you in a valley. If he can only lead you to mountains, then you don't have a real relationship with him. But when you really have a relationship with him, he can lead you. And you say, Lord, where are we going? Lord, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you're with me. That when I'm walking with him, I have to trust him. He's not always going to lead me to good places. Can I get a witness in the building? Sometimes he leads me and walks me up and down through death. And I know that I'm not the only one in this room that is looking at some death in some stuff, has some challenges in some stuff, has some tough places, and saying, Lord, I have followed you. I have been obedient. I have lived right. I have preached the word. I have done right. I have lived in season, out of season. I've done, and yet and still, I am in a situation where I see death. You have led me into a tough place. You have led me into a dark place. You have led me into a place where if it was up to me, I would not be here. Am I by myself? I need to know I'm talking to somebody besides. I'll preach to myself, but I need to know I'm preaching to somebody else. You are in a situation where you're saying, Lord, what is up with this? What is up with this layoff? What is up with this there? What is going on with this child? What the heck is going on with this supervisor? What is going on with it? What is happening in this country? Lord, why is it that you said you'd never leave me? You said you'd never forsake me. And yet and still, all I see is dry bones. It's because sometimes for the Lord to get to know you and for you to get to know yourself, he has to ask you a tough question. And he can't always ask you a tough question in a good place. Sometimes he has to lead you to a tough place to ask you a tough question for you to know who you are. And he leads him into a tough place and he says, son of man, can these dead bones live? Meaning, where is your faith? What do you believe? Abraham, against all hope, in hope believed. Can you believe when all hope is lost? Can you believe when your heart is broken? Can you believe when it looks like the situation is dead? When it looks like the career is dead? When it looks like the opportunity is dead? Can you still say the question that he asked him is about his faith? He says, Ezekiel, where are you in your inner self? Do you have any faith left? Or has life or situations or racism or pain dried up all of your belief? The devil is a liar. I speak faith in this room right now. And the question is, can these dead bones live? He asks Ezekiel, what do you see when you look at this valley? What do you see when you read the paper? What do you see when you look at your school? What do you see when you walk through campus? What do you see when you look at your teenager? Hey, I don't care what anybody else sees. What do you see when you look at your bank? What do you see when you look at your credit score? I don't want to know what everybody else has to say about the statistics. What do you see when you look at something that's dry? What do you see when you look at something that's lacking? What do you see when you look at chairs? What do you see? Don't tell me what everybody else sees. Tell me what you see. He brought him to a tough place, walked him back and forth by the hand and said, can these dead bones live? I would like to suggest to you that there are a number of totally reasonable, acceptable answers to this question. I love Ezekiel's answer, but I've got some other answers that I think are acceptable. First acceptable answer would be no. Dead bones can't live again. I know we almost don't want to admit that, but there would have been nothing wrong with Ezekiel saying these bones aren't just dead. This isn't just somebody. This has decayed to the point where the bones are dried. Ain't no juice on these bones. Ain't no little bit of meat on these. Ain't no skin on these. No tendons on these bones. There's nothing on these bones. This thing is dead. There is nothing wrong with being able to admit that sometimes it's dead. Sometimes it's over. As a matter of fact, it is healthy to be able to admit that things are dead. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. There's a time, and then there's a time that passes. And you're not going to be able to do that forever. I told the story before, but I'll tell it again. I was back in my hometown, and I was driving through my old neighborhood. And I'm from the inner city, and I thought I noticed somebody that used to live there 25 years ago when I lived there, and I slowed down. Now, if you've ever been in the inner city, if you're driving in a car, and you're driving through a neighborhood, and you slow down, people start looking at you. They don't know who you are, so they looking. They dipping. Somebody moving to the bushes, and they looking in. And I just pulled on over, and I just got out the car, and I walked over, and they were like, oh, my God, it's Gibb. They used to call me Gibb, Andy Gibb. Anyway, Gibb. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? They're like, oh, my God, dude, what's up? This is just a few years ago. Pushing 50. Are we still really talking like that? I'm like, dude, we almost 50 years old. You are still standing on the same corner? Oh, man, I heard all about you, man. Oh, my God, dude. I'm like, dude, we're 50. Stop talking to me like that. What are you doing? We're not 18. It's over. I know you're doing that church thing, man. I'm still working on my rap. Listen, you're 56. If your demo ain't hit, it ain't never gonna hit. Don't nobody want to. It's over. It's dead. Sometimes it's too late. You in here and you 60? That uterus is old. Them eggs is old. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Ain't nothing weirder than a 60-year-old woman having a baby. It's over. It's dead. How old are you? 48. About to have my baby. 48? That at some point, you have to admit it's over. My basketball career is over. I need a witness. It's over. Thank you. You know yours is over. Somebody said to me, why don't you play? I said, I don't play because this face may not look 51, but these knees are clicking. Every now and then I'll be up here and I'll look. Sometimes, if you ever see me after service is over, the armor bearers come over and I put my hands on them to lower myself down. Because if I jump down there, God only know what might happen because it's death. Sometimes I'm about to, I see somebody, oh my God, and I'll be like, oh, I'll be right there in a second. Hey, sis. Every now and then, I'm like, I'm just going to jump up there. And every now and then, I'll be here. And I'll be like, you know what, man, I can do that. And I'll be in, and I'll be like, let me just go on over here. Because if y'all see me starting, y'all will pull your cameras out. And y'all will be just hoping I trip and fall. It'll be all over the internet. I'll be getting ready to jump. And then I'm like, oh, let me just take myself on. When you get old, you start holding on to stuff as you walk by. Okay, let me. Why? Because you're not going to be young forever. Can this dead thing live? Sometimes the answer is no. Abraham and Sarah having a baby at 100 is crazy. It took a miracle. Nothing wrong with admitting that it's impossible. That don't mean that God can't make it happen. That don't mean that God can't make a way for you. What I'm saying to you is that it would have been a totally reasonable, acceptable answer. Second answer that would have been reasonable is, I don't know. I don't know. He could have said, I don't know. I don't know what it is about church people that can't say, I don't know. We get into trouble trying to explain stuff that we can't explain. I don't know. As a matter of fact, sometimes we just don't know. We get into all kinds of problems trying to explain something when we should just say, I don't know. This young woman came up to me. She was crying. I'm praying for her. And I'm saying, sweetheart. And she just said, well, my child died crib death a year ago, and my heart is broken. And I'm just like, yep. Your heart is broken. There is nothing that anybody can do. Thankfully, you can come here to service. I'm not going to tell you to stop crying. I said to her, you're never going to be the same, but that's okay. You can still be new. You can be someone else. You don't have to go back to how you were. But I don't have a why. I wish I knew why. That's when we get in trouble. We start trying to come up with whys. Preachers especially. Well, God, God has a flower up there in heaven. God got a flower garden. Oh, yes, he do. And he looked down, and he needed another flower. So he reached down and took my auntie and turned her into a flower. Listen, if the Lord wants to make a flower, he can just make a flower. You don't have to take my aunt and turn her into a flower. I know you've heard preachers say all kinds of stuff like that. Well, his number came up, and when God call your number, you got to go. When your number come up, y'all don't hear me in here. Sometime God call your number, and when God call your number, you just got to go. Like God is up there, 17, and his number came up. We don't know, but he got all by himself, and God call his number. When we can't just say, I don't know. I don't know why this person is gone. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know why. I don't know. I don't know would have been a totally acceptable answer. His answer was, sir, you know. Sometimes You just have to lean on the knowledge of God. Hey, you have to say, Lord, I may not know, but Lord, you know. Lord, you know where I am. You know what I need. You know what I'm going through. You know exactly what's happening with me. Lord, I may not know, but I'm so glad you know. I'm glad you have a knowledge that surpasses my knowledge. The thing I love the most about the story is that the Lord doesn't give an answer. Even though Ezekiel says, Lord, you know, as if to say, Lord, you tell me if the dead bones can live. And the Lord doesn't say they can live. No, no, no. The Lord says, it ain't about, I hear you, but that ain't why I asked the question. I asked the question because I want you to know that I brought you here to prophesy. I brought you here into this valley of dry bones to speak to the death and tell it to live. He gives us a whole new definition for prophecy. Prophecy isn't just seeing the future. Prophecy is seeing death and telling death to back up and line up with the word of God. Prophecy is to speak to a dead situation and to tell that dead situation to live. That Abraham spoke to death. And it lived. The God that gives life to the dead thing and calls those things that be not as though they were. It's resurrection power. Am I talking to anybody in here that I understand that the Lord has brought me to this place to prophesy? That the Lord, I know I'm talking to somebody in here that you keep continually finding yourself in tough places. You are in those tough places to break ground, to speak life to the dead place, to speak life where it's dry. You're not there by accident. You are there to exercise your faith and to speak and call life into a dead place. You are here. You have come to this moment to prophesy. You have come for the mountain. You haven't accidentally stumbled upon a challenge. You were led by the hand of God, by the Spirit of God, to the very dry place that you are at, so that you will open up your mouth and prophesy life, that you will say, millennials live, that you will say Xers live, that you will say church live. You go someplace and people tell you it's a dead place. This is a dead place. This is a dry place. This is a hard place. You say, oh, that's exactly what I was looking for. I was looking for a dry place because dry places catch on fire. I was looking for a dry place. I was looking for a place where I will know that it is the Lord. He says to Ezekiel, then you will know that I am the Lord. When you call and bones come back to life, when you speak and wind comes blowing in, the four winds from the north, the south, the east, and the west, when you start speaking life and commanding life to come, when you start to do that, you found your calling. You are here to speak life in dead places. And I speak life in the name of Jesus. I speak life over the four corners of this room. I speak life over every chair. I speak life over every person that's watching. I speak life over every business. I speak life over every opportunity that we thought was gone. I speak life over every marriage. I speak life over every single person. I speak life over every child. I speak life, and then I command dead bones to live again. I command skin and tendons and flesh. I speak to the wind and I prophesy, blow in from the four corners, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And God, I thank you for a vast army. I speak life over your money. I speak life over your situation. I speak life over your dream. I speak life over your business. And I command you to speak life into your situation. From today, I want you to stop speaking death. Speak life. Stop speaking death. The enemy may attack you with death in your mind, but you speak life out your mouth. When you open up your mouth, you say, this thing about to turn around. When you open up your mouth, you say, I'm getting ready to get this scholarship. When you open up your mouth, you say, I'm getting ready to get this scholarship. When you open up your mouth, you say, I'm getting ready to go to a whole nother level. Don't let death come out your mouth. Everybody else is cursing you. Don't curse yourself. You have come to the kingdom to prophesy. You are not here by accident. You are here because the Lord has called you to be a trailblazer and to create new territory for him and to bring in new people that never came before and new folk that had never been to the church before. We have come to the kingdom for just such a time as this, for people to have a knowledge of someone like you. They've never met anybody like you before. Don't be upset that you're different. You are there to prophesy. We have come to prophesy. We have come to say, dead bones live. My brothers and my sisters, can these dead bones live? Can God empower your mouth and bring life where there was death? I say he can. Do you believe that? I say he can. I say that we ought to be fully persuaded that God is able to do what he promised. Put your hands together if you're persuaded. Jump on your feet. Jump on your feet. Reach out, grab somebody's hand. Let's pray together. I know we a little over. Not really. Come on, let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for our time together, Lord. Thank you for this service. Thank you for this group that came. Thank you for the fact that death and life is in the power of our mouths. Lord, we've always known that. But God, I thank you that right now we have been reminded that we have been called to prophesy. And so God, my wife and I, we're prophesying over marriages in the name of Jesus. Prophesying over wombs and saying, burst forth with fruit. We are speaking over generations. We speak over this church. We speak over this city. We speak over this people. God, have your way. From the front to the back, from the least to the greatest, God, make a way where there seems to be no way. We sang that today. Lord, you'll make a way out of no way. You did it before. You'll do it again. We're letting go. Fight our battles. But God, we realize that you have called us to this dry place to speak life to it. So we speak life to our businesses and life to our careers and life to our families and life to our relationships. We command life to come. We have the faith of Abraham, the faith that brings life to the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. Faith that brings life to the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. Lord, thank you for restoring our faith today. Thank you for making us fully persuaded that you are able. Now, God, watch over us, protect us, dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Cover us with your blood as we leave, as we go home. Anointing rest on us and use us for your glory. And God, as we always pray, as we stretch our hands over your people and over everyone that's listening and watching around the world, bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Grace and favor upon your people. Multiply these people and give them peace, a peace that passes understanding. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, bring us back on Wednesday, next Sunday, as we walk by faith. In Jesus' name, we all sit together. Amen. God bless you. Greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Give somebody a holy hug. You are dismissed. God bless you.